puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And that music, of course, can only mean one thing. It's our Abandoned Manitoba segment with Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society, and he's with us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, today we're going to talk about a visitor to Manitoba in 1920 who claimed to be walking around the world. By the time he got here, he had covered over 52,000 miles on foot. Unfortunately, the truth turned out to be somewhat different.
One would guess. Who was this visitor?
He was a 25-year-old Montrealer named Arthur Thibodeau, and he was a challenger in a contest that was hosted by an organization in Paris, France, that had promised a prize of $100,000. Now, that doesn't maybe sound like a huge sum, but that's over $1 million in today's money. And it would go to the first person who could walk 65,000 miles and along the way collect signatures from 140,000 people, basically to confirm that they had actually walked the route that they had said they walked. Now, Mr. Thibodeau started in Vancouver in May of 1912, but understandably, his walk was interrupted by the First World War. He was in India at the time. And by that time, he had already completed 80% of his mileage. He was so close. And in the process, had walked through Canada, the United States, Mexico, several countries in South America, and throughout Europe.
So he says. But, I mean, he obviously couldn't walk to all these places.
No. The contest rules did permit him to travel 35,000 miles by other forms of transportation, you know, such as ships, for example. He was also allowed to travel a few miles by train when it was simply impossible to walk, and he could accept a ride in a car, but apparently only for 10 miles and only if he did not pay for that service.
So this is a legit contest. Somebody actually thought this was a possibility.
Well, it actually had been done, according to Mr. Thibodeau. He was following on another example of another person that had done this.
So I assume he resumed his walk then after the First World War?
Yep. When he walked into Winnipeg in mid-May of 1920, he was on his way to Vancouver, where he planned to board a ship that would take him to Japan. And from there, he was going to cross over to China, down to the southern part of Asia, then over to Australia, on to Africa, where he would walk north, crossing the Mediterranean to Italy, and then arriving in Paris. And this was his deadline. In order to claim his prize, he had to be back in Paris by the 1st of May, 1925. Unfortunately, when he arrived here in Winnipeg, he had a sprained ankle that he had sustained at Port Colborne, Ontario. So he hung around here for apparently about a month before continuing his journey.
I just have so many questions. We'd never get to them all. So how did he support himself on this walk? Where'd he get the money?
Well, according to the rules of the contest, he could only support himself through the sale of postcards that featured his photo and a few details about his globe-trotting walk. Or he could also charge admission to lectures that he would give at local theaters. And he actually did give one here in Winnipeg.
And was he completely alone? Did he do this solo?
Well, in the early days, it was said that he was accompanied by a dog. Although the accounts disagree whether it was a small dog or a St. Bernard, which is obviously not a small dog. Interestingly, when he arrived in Saskatoon in February of 1921, he was accompanied by a young woman who he had apparently met on the road, and their 16-month-old baby.
Wow. So what organization was sponsoring this walk? What was the origins of this contest?
It was something called the Revel Athletic Association of Paris.
Doesn't even ring a bell at all.
Nope. No, and this is where the story of Arthur Thibodeau, Canadian globetrotter, starts to unravel. Well, today, of course, we have access to vast repositories of information on the internet, and we can search and find that, in fact, there is no such organization as the Revel Athletic Association of Paris, and there never has been. We can also find articles in historical newspapers that have been digitized and are now easily searched. And there we find that despite what Arthur told the people he met in Winnipeg, he seems to have never left North America. He had visited various places in Canada and the eastern United States, crisscrossing the nations, telling, well, slightly varying versions of his story at each place that he stopped.
I'll bet. Give me an example of one.
Well, there was a story in the Boston Globe newspaper from March of 1914. This was before he got interrupted by the First World War. And it said that he had just arrived there, having left Vancouver 10 months earlier. Well, that would put his original departure in 1913, not 1912, as he widely claimed several years later. More significantly, the details about why he was walking were quite different in that newspaper article. There was no mention of a Revel Athletic Association. Instead, he told a reporter that he had met some, quote, French millionaires in Montreal, and they had doubted that a Canadian could walk around the world. So he, being a proud Canadian, accepted their challenge, and they deposited money in a bank for him to claim on his return to Montreal. But he would not divulge the identities of the millionaires, nor the amount of money that he would receive.
What else? I'm sure you have more details, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, we could talk at length about this. Well, assuming that Arthur had arrived in Boston in early 1914, planning, I assume, to take a ship to Europe, it's kind of hard to explain the newspaper stories of him visiting the town, for example, of North Adams. That's in West Massachusetts, about 150 miles west of Boston, quite far inland, in early 1915. I mean, if he was planning to go overseas, why was he still there a year later?
Right.
Or he was in Cornwall, Ontario, in August of 1916. Again, hasn't left yet. In fact, there appears to be no records of him boarding a ship to or from Europe, much less ones to South America or Asia. And the nature of the misadventure that he suffered at Port Colborne varies with the telling. On his visit to Saskatoon in early 1921, he said that he had suffered blood poisoning, not an ankle sprain. So that's kind of interesting. And if he had a wife and 16-month-old baby when he was in Saskatoon, how come he was apparently unaccompanied when he arrived in Winnipeg just 9 months earlier? The math for the baby's age doesn't work. The only conclusion I can reach from all these observations is that Arthur's worldwide trip was a giant con solely to make money from selling postcards and giving lectures. You know, but the best part of the story, it is he was not the only person to pull this stunt.
You're kidding. There were others.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend James Kostichuk, and he reminded me of a fellow named Harry Bensley with remarkably similar elements of Arthur's story. Apparently, this Harry Bensley accepted a challenge from two millionaires. There's the millionaires. Right. To walk around the United Kingdom, as well as several other countries around the world, supporting himself by selling postcards. But there was an interesting variation that I just have this mental picture of, is that he had to wear the helmet from a medieval suit of armor, you know, like a knight's suit of armor, apparently to conceal his identity. And while he was wearing this medieval knight's helmet, he was also pushing a baby buggy. Why? I don't know. He walked from 1908 to 1914. And of course, 1914, that neatly dovetails with the year when Arthur Thibodeau started his own journey. You know, I wonder, for example, maybe Arthur Thibodeau was inspired by this Harry Bensley.
Right.
And if one con can inspire another con, an American war veteran named Al Reed Jr. May have taken his lead from Arthur when he arrived in San Francisco in early 1923. He claimed to be on a worldwide trip sponsored by, wait for it, the Revel Athletic Association of Paris. But his variation was that Reed was not walking the globe. He was driving it in a 1916 Buick.
So this was a con that was obviously successful for some, and word got around to other grifters, and they were all going around telling the same old story. How did you even find out about Arthur Thibodeau?
Well, my first clue was that I have a small collection of historical postcards, and in it is a card that I purchased many years ago that I'd completely forgotten about. I was browsing my collection not long ago, and I found this card, and I saw, oh, Arthur Thibodeau, Globetrotter. And
you're
I thought,
kidding.
I don't know anything about this. Like, what is this? So I started doing some research, and soon enough, man, all the details started to flow. And, you know, the interesting thing about this postcard is that it was printed by a firm here in Winnipeg. It was probably one of the ones that he used to make money on his bogus trip around the world. So I have to wonder, did he coordinate this whole thing out of Winnipeg? You know, we may never know.
What a great souvenir to have.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, you know, since he was selling these postcards as ways of supporting himself, there must be many others out there too. And I know there are postcard collectors. So I have to wonder, maybe some of our listeners maybe even have a postcard from Arthur Thibodeau, you know, fake globe trotter.
That's excellent. I really enjoyed that, Gordon. Thanks. And what's up for next week?
Next week, we're going to visit a vacant building here in Winnipeg that once housed a real Lulu of a restaurant.
Ah, that rings a bell. Okay, Gordon, that's great. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.